It's just such an honor to be here. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, where me and my wife and our five children, three of those which are teenagers, 17, 15, and 13. Just stretch your hands towards me right now. That's where faith comes from, is teenagers. It's a faith builder. And so they're just amazing children. Me and my wife are just raising the children, and they're just like trees and just growing up. And so I've been in ministry all my life. I grew up in church. I tell people all the time, I think I was born in between services at church. I've just been in the house of the Lord all my life, and that's all I've known, and I'm so thankful that God kept me in his house, and grew up just loving worship, loving his presence. And I knew at an early age, I said, Lord, I was just drawn to his presence. I remember being 5 years old and saying, and experiencing his presence for the first time at 5 years old, trying to take a nap, and they were playing praise and worship music, and I could not sleep. My brain and heart were consumed with the presence of the Lord. And God began to do a work in my heart and at an early age. And so by the time I was 12 years old, I knew that I wanted to be a worship leader. I knew that God had called me to lead worship. And so I began to pray, Lord, just develop that in me. And years later, I was able to go to school for at Christ for the Nations. And I also prayed, Lord, give me the ability to write songs. I always wanted to write songs for the kingdom. And so I prayed, Lord, give me that ability to write songs for you. And the first song I wrote had two words in it. Do you guys want to hear it real quick? All right, let me just show you real quick. Earlier, the first service, I almost took this microphone out right there. So this is the first song I ever wrote. It's called Accept Him. It goes like this. Accept him. Accept him. Accept him in your life. I was like, I think I need another word. I said, receive him. Add another word. Receive him. Receive him in your life. That was the first song I ever wrote. And I was like, Lord, thank you for that song. And I could have gotten frustrated right there and said, Lord, you didn't give me a song like Here I Am to Worship for my first song. But I didn't get frustrated there. I said, Lord, I'm going to build and develop the gift that you've given me. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is the purpose that God's placed you here for. Why has God created you? Why did he breathe breath into your lungs? Why did he mold you and make you and put you here on earth to do something for him? And to have a fire alarm go off. Oh, okay. So God allowed, he created us. He breathed breath into us for a reason. You are not just breathing air just so that you can live. But God has a purpose behind you breathing. Jeremiah 1 and 5. Turn there for me, if you would. Jeremiah 1, 5. So God has a plan for you. Somebody say, God has a plan for me. Say it with some faith. God has a plan for me. So Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. The Lord's telling Jeremiah, hey, Jeremiah, I knew who you were. I knew you before you were formed. Before you were in your mother's womb, I placed you on earth for a purpose, for a design, for a reason. And Jeremiah's response was, Lord, but I can't even speak. The Lord had called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah began to say, Lord, I can't even speak. I can't do it. I can't go on, because he began to look at his inabilities instead of looking at the one that called him. And I think it's amazing to know that God called him to speak. God made him and knew when he was shaping him. He knew when he was making him, okay, I'm going to give Jeremiah a lisp. I'm going to cause him to speak with a stuttering problem. So God breathed into him, and Jeremiah became alive, and he's living life and everything. And then God tells him, I've called you to be a prophet to the nation. The very thing that he felt inadequate in, God called him to use. Jeremiah's like, Lord, I stutter. I can't even speak, Lord. And how am I supposed to go and speak to this nation your word? And I stutter. God said, Jeremiah, who cares? I am with you. And the very thing sometimes that you feel inadequate in is the thing that God wants to use you in. I used to be so nervous getting in front of people and standing and singing. When I was in Master's Commission, I remember singing on the platform. There had like 1,000 youth in the youth group. And Jeannie would have us go up and lead worship and everything. And I was kind of nervous at first. I was like, Lord, this is my first time singing at 18 years old in front of 1,000 kids, leading them in worship. And I remember feeling a little nervous at times. And the Lord stopped me and said, it's not your ability, but it's my ability through you. I've called you to lead them into worship. And then that set me free, and I was able to lead with confidence, not in who I am, but in who he is in me. What has God called you to do? What has God placed you on this earth for? He designed you for a reason. I know for me, my life is here to create worship, to write songs, to work with worship teams, to encourage the body of Christ as well. So I know that God's called me to write and to. So I spend hours on the piano just practicing my craft that God's given me. And so I started that when I was 13 years old. Writing songs every day. If I added every paper, I mean, it would be huge. But I would write songs and develop system and my writing and everything. But I didn't want to hold on to what God had given me and just bury it in the sand. How many of us in here have buried this gift that God's given us in the sand? And the Lord in the Bible talks about the talents. How one was fruitful and the other one went and multiplied his. And the one that had one talent, he went and buried it in the sand. The Lord came back and said, what did you do with what I gave you? The Lord's going to come back to earth and say, what did you do with what I placed in you? Have you used it to the fullest? Have you developed your gifts and your talents? So one of the things that I love to do, I love to write songs. I love to create songs. So I'm going to show you right now what it's like to use your talents for the Lord for years, and show you what it looks like, okay? Somebody just give me a title of a song that you want. Not a song that's written, but something that, yes. Unseen. Wow. Let's do this. So this is brand new. I've never sang this before, ever. But I'm going to show you what it's like to use your talents over and over again and to develop it. Okay, Unseen. I like that title. Thank you. All right, Lord. Show yourself faithful. Here we go. Here we go.
His unseen.
Okay. Let me start this over. Let's see here. Unseen. Oh, okay.
Never have I seen a love quite like yours. Never have I seen a mercy quite like yours. You love me so. You cared for me way back on Calvary. You love me so. Your grace for me is not unseen.
I was trying to work that in, that word, unseen. But you see, that only happens through me using the gifts that God's given me. And I mean, daily, practice that gift, that talent. God's given you something to use to affect the world. How many of you in here know what God's called you to do? Raise your hand high if you know what your gifting is. Raise your hand if you know what your gifting is. Okay, put your hands down. Raise your hand if you do not know what your gifting or talent is. Raise it high. I want to see. Okay, let me put your hands down. Let me share with you. Jeannie Mayo, like she was talking about, shared this with us years ago, and it's so true. God gives us, a lot of times our gifting and calling is something that we like to do. God's not going to call you to something that you hate doing and expect you to be happy doing it. So a lot of times our giftings, our callings are something that we enjoy doing. I enjoy writing songs. I love singing. I love spending time in his presence. I love working with worship teams. God would not have made me a car dealer. Doesn't that sound funny? Could y'all see me selling cars? You can laugh. That's okay. So as funny as that sounds, me selling cars, let me show you how crazy this sounds. When I was first getting started traveling, it was kind of slow at the beginning, and so I was like, we had our first child, and no one really knew me yet. And so I'm like calling churches, and they're like, they're not having me out because they don't know me yet. And so a lot of times you have to get a reference and everything and develop. So it takes time. And so it was really slow, and I remember saying, okay, God, I don't know what to do. And so I go to apply at a car dealership. It was hilarious. All I put on my resume was led worship here, went to Bible college, sang at this choir, and the guy's looking at it, reading it, and he laughed like you did. He said, you know, maybe you should stick with music. Talk about the Lord speaking through somebody. And so I immediately said, okay, God, he's not even a Christian, and he's telling me to stick with praise and worship. And so I went back to what God had called me to do, and then the Lord opened up a door for me to lead worship in the first church that I led worship in Phoenix. And so God had a plan. In other words, I shouldn't have stepped out of his purpose to try and make ends meet. Let that sink in. Don't step out of your purpose to try and make ends meet. Do what God's called you to do, and then you'll be more fruitful and multiply. I love the fact that the Lord tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Adam's job was to name all the animals. The Lord put in them the ability to multiply and to do things. And God wouldn't have called him to multiply if he couldn't. So it's in you. Somebody say multiply. So what has God called you to do? If he's called you to be a teacher, be the best teacher on the planet. If he's called you to write songs, write those songs for the Lord. If he's called you to be a professor, you can accomplish what God's called you to do. Somebody say, I can do what God's called me to do. It says in Romans 10, 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we believe what God said and get it in our hearts? By hearing his word. Faith comes by hearing. How do I know? How did I get the strength and the ability to do what God's calling me to do? By hearing his word. His word is the foundation that I stand on. So if I didn't have his word, I'd be tossed to and fro. Whenever the winds would blow, I'd go here and there. I would have tried to go back to the car place when it got hard. But that's not what God wanted. When I have faith and I stand on his word, then that's when I'm able to say, okay, come high, hell or high water, I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and I will not be moved in Jesus' name. So recognize what your calling is, what you are here for, and run after it with all of your heart. God has a plan for you. I prayed when I was 13 years old, Lord, give me a song that'll bless people around the world. And I went and sat down and started writing and wrote these words down and sang the melody. And my mom heard me in the kitchen, and she said, son, that song's going to go around the world. She didn't even hear what I had just prayed. And that's when the Lord gave me the song, When I Think About the Lord, when I was 13 years old. And years later, after that, my dad came home. I showed it to him, and he took me to a lawyer to get it copywritten. I couldn't believe it. I was like, 13-year-old kid getting the song copywritten and everything. I thought that was so cool. And then I took it to my home church, and we started singing it there, and showed it to my cousin who was the youth choir director, and he recorded it with the youth choir, and my church started singing it. I'm ecstatic at 13. So fast forward, years later, I go off to Bible college, and I showed it to the worship leader at the school. He said he didn't think it had what it needed, and I wanted to do some karate on that guy. And so he put it on his shelf. It is sitting there on his shelf the whole year. He didn't do anything with it. And so I ended up switching schools, went to Jeannie Mayo's Master's Commission, and said, okay, Lord, I guess but I still trust you. And so anyway, it's sitting on his desk. A year later, he's just so happened to see it on his desk a year later. Was looking for a song to do in chapel and decided to listen to it again and decided to do it in chapel. Now let me pause right here and say, God knows exactly where you are and knows when to pull you off the shelf. If I would have gotten frustrated and bitter and angry and irritated, I could have missed the move of God in my life. If I wouldn't have been obedient and shared it with them, God might have told you to give somebody something to show them, and you have no clue what your obedience will open up for you. And so they sang it in the chapel service at the school. I'm not even there. And he said the school went crazy. They loved it. And he said he felt like an idiot after that because he almost didn't do it. I said, I agree. I didn't say that. But so then they recorded it on their album that year. And you have to know that Christ for the Nations is known for their worship. They've put out music for years. The older song, remember the song As the Deer? That came out of there. Even the song I Worship You, Almighty God, there is none like you. You guys know that? That one, and even some more recent stuff like Revelation Song came out of there. Carrie Job came out of the school there. Tons of worship has come out of Christ for the Nations. Well, they said in the history of the school being there, that album, When I Think About the Lord, was on, sold more CDs than any other record that they've ever done. And they called me back and gave me a plaque and everything, and it was number one on charts around the country. And I was blown away by what God had done. It went to Africa. A friend of mine went to Africa a couple years later and heard someone walking down the street singing it. Said, where did you hear that song? They said, oh, we do it at our church. It's gone to many different nations of the world. And I share that with you to let you know that no matter what man says, God's word is still true. And he will fulfill what he told you he would do. That word my mom gave me when I was 13, that song's going to go around the world. It did. And I'm so blown away by what God has done with that. Always remain as the Lord raises you up. I believe the Lord's going to raise some people up in this room to be leaders in your city, leaders in your in the nation. And the Lord wants you to know that humility is the key to opening the windows of heaven. I could have gotten high and mighty and said, look at what God's doing. But no, I've gone into stores at times and have heard them singing it on at the Christian music stores, and I don't even say anything. I'm just in awe that God's using something that he gave me. I remember one time when I was working at my home church after college. Right when I got home from master's commission, I went and served at my home church, and they had me vacuuming the sanctuary, cleaning the platform off, and doing the bathrooms, and working with the kids after that, and so I had no clue I was going to be doing all this. I thought they'd have me writing some songs, but that's not what they had me do. So the Lord was trying me through that time, and I remember being so irritated and saying, God, I just got back from college, and you have me cleaning the bathroom. Yes. And so my heart was irritable. I was frustrated. And the Lord stopped me and said, when your heart shifts, then I'll shift. I will never forget it. And so I said, okay, God, I'll do this with a good heart and with a good attitude. So I began, and the Lord showed me to do it unto him, everything. Do it as unto him. So as I was cleaning the bathrooms, I was doing it as unto the Father. As I was cleaning the sanctuary, I was doing it as unto the Father. My heart shifted. I began to sing as I was vacuuming the sanctuary, as I was cleaning. My whole attitude shifted. Within a month's time, the Lord took me from there to lead worship at the first church that I ever led worship at. But I know that if my heart would have stayed the same, I would have been in the same situation probably now if it hadn't changed. 20 years later, sometimes you feel like you're going around in circles and God's saying, I'm waiting for you. I love the story of where the children of Israel walk around the mountain for 40 years. Okay, by year 10, I would have been marking the rock. Like, I would have said, okay, if I see this X again, then I'll know I'm going around in circles. They walked around for 40 years. I would have been like, does anybody have a GPS? We would have created a GPS back then in the Bible. Somebody show me your iPhone. I need a GPS. They walked around for 40 years around the same area, and they were days away from their promised land. How many times do we walk around doing the same thing for 40 years, getting the same results for 40 years? God's saying, stop what you're doing and do something different. Change your attitude. The Bible says that they complained for 40 years. Complaining, saying, Lord, do I have to go back to church? Pastor called and needs me to do this, but I have other stuff to do. Complaining. But Lord, I got stuff to do at home. I know the church needs me right now, but I have other stuff to do. And so you start complaining. And God says, if you want to stop walking around this mountain, the only way to stop going around in circles, the compass is found in obedience. And if you realize, the saddest thing is most of those people that were complaining died and did not enter into their promised land. I refuse to walk around for 40 years and not enter my promised land. The thing that God showed you when you were even 10 years old and 10 years ago, and he's given you visions and promises, and he's shown you these things. And the reason why sometimes it takes longer is because we've complained. Then we refine for a while, and then something happens. We get irritated, and then we go all the way back around. They were days away from their miracle. They were probably, I bet you that they were probably a mile away from where they were supposed to be, and then somebody complained, and then they sent them the other way. Could you imagine? They're like at the door. They might have even been a half a mile away, but somebody complained, sent them back. Another year. Go around the mountain again. So that you can work out those things before I give you, before I trust you with my promise, I've got to trust you with my obedience. Because if you hold his promise without obedience, that's a dangerous thing. Could you imagine holding his promise in the promised land and they're still complaining? God's given us building and children and everything, and he's blessing us, and he wants us to change our conversation in our hearts. As soon as my heart shifted, my conversation shifted and the situation shifted. Believe in God's word. Believe that God is faithful. We have to stand on his promises. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to him, to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe in God's word. Believe that God is faithful. Believe that you can do what God has called you to do. Believe that God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Somebody say, he wants to use me. Believe that God's plans are better than yours. What he plans for you is better than anything that you could ever imagine or think. I would have never dreamed that for 15 years the Lord would take me around the world to many different countries in the world and get to lead worship. I got to lead worship in front of mayors and governors in different countries, and blows my mind what God has done. Why? Because I gave my dreams to the Lord. I said, Lord, you allow your perfect will to be done in your timing. The Lord says, trust in him. I believe that there's people in here who are called to build publishing companies. What has God told you to do? I believe there's people in here who are called to be athletes. Can he trust you with the promise? Your steps are ordered. You are in the potter's hand. Romans 8:21 says, hath not the potter power over the clay? So God's molding you and making you, and we get irritated and try to jump off the potter's wheel. So we're telling the Lord as he's, and you know the potter's wheel goes pretty fast. So we're trying to tell the Lord, Lord, you're going too fast. And the Lord's like, no, I'm not. I know the speed that I have to turn this thing to make it accomplish what it's built to do. So he's making us and we get irritated and try to jump off and then we break. And he has to start all over again. Another year around the mountain. I believe that this is almost a different word for this service. That the mountain that you're walking around, the reason why you keep breaking is because you're trying to jump out of the will of God. He knows where you're supposed to be. He knows you're exactly where you need to be right now. Stop trying to jump off the wheel. So he picks you up again and makes you over. Starts the process over. But aren't you glad that he makes you over again? He never gives up on you. He is faithful. And then he takes all the scars and gets rid of those. He takes the mistakes that we've made and erases them with his blood as he makes us with his own hands. He is in control if we allow him to be. Your steps are ordered. Trust in his plan. Let him mold you. Don't jump off the wheel. Don't jump out of the fire either. The potter has to put the clay in the fire. It's hot. And a lot of times when it gets hot, what do we like to do? We like to put the fire out and say, that's not God. When sometimes it is God. And if we stay through the course, when he pulls us out, we'll be a fine, what is it? Pottery that God has formed and made. Stay through the process because he is in control. Let's stand up on our feet. Praise team, come on up. I believe that God wants to kind of redirect this time and get our attention and show us that he is the potter. He is forming you how he wants you to be. So those years walking around the mountain have brought you to this point. And hear the Holy Spirit say, are you going to go around again or are you going to believe the promises that God's given you? Are you ready to step into the promised land that he's promised you? Because through your obedience can enter you into the promise that he's given you. This song, when I think about the Lord allowed, I prayed a prayer. I was teaching at this church on asking God. I was preaching at this church on believing God for what he tells us. You know, the Bible says, if earthly fathers give good gifts, how much more our Heavenly Father? He wants to bless us. And so I'm sharing this at this church, and the Lord stopped me as I was preaching and asked me to ask Him for something. So I'm preaching, and so in my heart, I just asked the Lord. I said, Lord, the way the country is and everything, I said, Lord, let me touch the president's life some kind of way. I asked him just quiet, or not out loud, as I'm preaching, I shared that I asked the Lord. So after the service was over, about 10 minutes later, I get a text on my phone, and it said, oh my gosh, did you see the news? I said, no. They said Liberty University was having their graduation, and they had been singing my song for a few years for their graduation. And they said that that year, President Trump did the commencement speech, and literally right after he spoke, they sang When I Think About the Lord. So they're showing the president's face on national TV singing When I Think About the Lord. And I said, oh my, I just asked him 10 minutes prior. So that showed me that God knows what we're going to ask before we even ask it. He already has things going and in place, and He just wants your faith to be in Him. I was blown away by that. And God, that the Lord knows what we're going to ask before we ask. And He just wants to show you how faithful He is and to believe Him for the miraculous, for the impossible. Because He is the God of the impossible.